So the reading, as you can see, is in your orders of service, and we're going through Ruth chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belongs to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of being seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead in his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family and from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. So, Father, we do pray as we look at these words from the Bible, culturally a long time ago, but through your Spirit, we pray that these would be words of truth for us today as well. Give us understanding, both of what you're saying and also how your word will apply into each of our lives today. Bring to mind particular situations in our lives that you're wanting to address. And we pray that you'd make us humble and receptive to all that you speak to us about today. And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, a quiz. This is quite an easy quiz, I think. Which film in the 90s famously had this word in it? Okay, yeah? Shawshank Redemption. Hands up if you've seen Shawshank Redemption. Okay, it was one of the greats of the 1990s. And if you don't know the story, it's quite easy to bring you up to speed. A guy, Andy, is a professional guy. He gets wrongly incarcerated into a high security prison for apparently the murder of his wife and her lover. He caught them having an affair. And he's wrongly incarcerated. And the story of The Shawshank Redemption basically follows his quiet, consistent, literally chipping away at the wall in his cell. He creates this kind of massive tunnel. And on the night of his escape, there's a huge thunderstorm. He breaks through, he goes down into the sewers. Do you remember, those who've seen it? And he kind of crawls through this grime and this filth. And then he emerges. And do you remember the scene? There's the thunderstorm, there's the rain. And this is the picture that really kind of sums it all up. Okay, and the thing about The Shawshank Redemption, this is the picture. It doesn't just tell an amazing story of redemption. It helps you to understand the feeling of redemption as well. After all of those years, enslaved, as it were, incarcerated wrongly, and now it's as if the rain kind of washes away all the filth of those years, and he's finally free. Okay, redemption. Now, we don't need to be wrongly incarcerated to feel trapped in life. Okay, and I'm sure all of us can think of things in our lives where, as like metaphorically, we would love to be free. Okay, for the rain, as it were, to kind of wash those things away. Redemption. Well, the story of Ruth in the Old Testament, it's a beautiful story of redemption, of personal redemption. Okay, so the story that we've followed so far centers around Naomi. And Naomi had left the land of Israel, the promised land, and had gone all the way to Moab. That was a bit of a no-no. And while she was there, her husband dies, loss. Her two sons die, double loss. I mean, can you imagine how hard that must have been? And she decides to return. One of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, decides to come back with her. And we followed the story of how the hidden hand of the Lord, even though Naomi had assumed the Lord was against her, actually amazingly provides for her. Ruth, the proactive girl who goes out, she goes to the field, she makes use of the Old Testament provision that the widow and the alien can glean in the fields. The Lord provides this godly man, Boaz, who enables them to do that, to glean in his fields. And but then Naomi thinks, well, in order to secure the long-term future for my daughter-in-law, Ruth, we need a more kind of stable, permanent arrangement here. So she thinks, well, maybe Boaz is the guy. Okay, he's part of our extended family. And in that culture, he could have become a guardian redeemer. Okay, someone to marry the daughter-in-law, to carry on the line of Naomi's dead husband, to give them a place. So that's the plan. So last week we saw the plan. They go off as a slightly peculiar thing on the threshing floor. And the main point of chapter 3 is Boaz agrees. He says, yes, I'm up for it. Okay, leave it with me. And then we get to chapter 4, where we are today, wondering, how's it going to go? Is it going to work out? Is this story of redemption going to reach, as it were, its kind of full consummation? And we follow the story through in chapter 4. It's a lovely ending to the book as we follow kind of Naomi's personal redemption story. I mean, it's complicated, isn't it? I don't know if as Pete read through for us, he thought, like, goodness me, what is going on here? I mean, this is not exactly the straightforward Hollywood boy meets girl, fall in love, get married, they all live happily up. There's a lot of logistics involved here. And so Boaz, verse 2, do you see he has to get the elders together. They sit down in the city gate. That would be where legal kind of undertakings were done. So that's what they're doing. There's an official legal gathering to settle the use of this land, and then also how Ruth and Naomi will fit in with that as well. Now, verse 3, then he said to the guardian redeemer, Naomi, who's come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belongs to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of those seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, and I will do it. So here's the thing. This guy is first in line, essentially. And so he says, verse 4, I will redeem it. And you can imagine if Ruth was listening in, which I don't think she was, but if she was, her heart would have sunk at this point, right? But then Boaz says, verse 5, on the day you buy the land, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Now, it is a bit complicated here. There are two things going on. On the one hand, preserving the land. Okay, so when the Israelites entered the promised land with Joshua, every single family was given an allotment of land. This was a kind of pledge of them belonging within God's promised people and in his land. So everyone got a little bit of land, and it was crucial that the land stayed in the family. So if a husband died, then there were mechanisms by which that land could then be retained within the wider family. So that's what Boaz is doing here. He's a relative. He's saying, look, we need to buy back this land so it stays in the family. That's the land. But there's another thing, and that's the family line. How are we going to continue and maintain the family line? And that's where Ruth comes in. You get the land. You also have the responsibility to take on board Ruth and Naomi and any children, so that you can also maintain Elimelech's line, his family name, within the people of Israel. Okay, bit complicated, but this other guy realizes the main issue is that it's costly. Okay, so do you see what he says, verse 6? He says, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, if we've been following through the book of Ruth, this is a jarring note, isn't it? Because everyone in Ruth so far has been basically sacrificing themselves for the good of others. Now, this guy's not willing to do that. It's too costly for him. And so Boaz steps in. And Boaz does it. Okay, displaying the kind of covenant love that the book of Ruth is, as we've seen, is saturated in. There's the kind of business of the sandals. Any lawyers here? This might simplify your lives. I don't know. Maybe make it more complicated. But verse 9 is when we get the kind of deal is done. Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you're witnesses that I've bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow is my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. Okay? Job done. Now, for Naomi, this is unbelievable. She arrived, a widow, with a daughter-in-law who was a foreigner and therefore unlikely to be easily accepted. Now, she is married in with a godly man who will provide for them. She has a place within the people of Israel again, and within the land. This is redemption. Okay, she was an outsider, now she's an insider. She said she arrived empty, and now, well, there's hope again. And you really get the sense of the celebration of this moment, as we read on from verse 11. The elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord, may the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel, may you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. If you know the story of Tamar and Judah, by the way, the connection there is the kind of Levirate marriage principle. So it's when a husband dies, then Tamar kind of stood in. It's a complicated story, but that's the connection there. But you see the point. They are overwhelmingly positive about what has just happened. So Ruth is being given a whole new identity. She was the foreigner who knew, no one knew. And now she's being compared to Rachel and Leah. They were the great matriarchs of the people of Israel, okay, who brought about the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. Amazing thing that Ruth should be considered equal now to them. Amazing redemption. But the most lovely moment is when we get to verse 13. And this really is when we see the story kind of coming full circle for Naomi. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he made love to her. The Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you." Isn't that lovely? Who loves you. "And who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and broke down and wept. I mean, it doesn't say that, but she must have done, right? I mean, can you imagine all of the emptiness of her life, the loss that she had struggled through, the question marks, where is the Lord? Does he care? Am I counted as worthy in his sight in any way at all? And now, that little baby, a sure sign that the Lord has not forgotten her. And the women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, in this story of redemption for Naomi, Boaz and Ruth have a key part to play. You know, Ruth, who loves you, she's better to you than seven sons. I mean, that's about as good as it comes in Israelite culture. Again, amazing that a Moabite woman could be described in those ways. An amazing provision of the Lord. Ruth and Boaz, who at great cost to himself was willing to take this whole family under his wings. And yet the people are clear that behind it all is the Lord. So can you see verse 14, the women said, "Praise be to the Lord, who has not left you without a guardian redeemer." In verse 13, it's the Lord who enabled her to conceive. And the point is, it is the Lord who has brought about this story of personal redemption in the life of Naomi. What did it look like? Well, it looked like going from emptiness to fullness. Okay, that was a great focus of chapter one. She said, I've returned empty. And here with the baby in her arms, Ruth and Boaz at her side, we think, well, what a turnaround. That's what redemption looks like, from emptiness to fullness. What does it feel like? Well, it feels like going from hopelessness to joy. Okay, do you remember? She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which means bitter. By the way, that's where hopelessness takes you. When you lose hope, eventually you become bitter. I don't know, perhaps some of us are halfway down that road from hopelessness to bitterness. That was Naomi's journey. And yet, redemption from bitterness to joy. I think if you'd asked Naomi, "How do you feel about the Lord?" she'd have said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Don't you think she'd have said that? Amazing story for her. Now listen, we all have a personal redemption story like Naomi. Okay, our Redeemer, we know, is the Lord Jesus. Okay, he's the tool of God the Father's redemption, the eternal Son of God who came into our world to redeem us. Okay, it's a redemption that was complicated because of our sin. How is a just, righteous God going to both forgive our sin and retain his justice? Well, amazingly, he did it through Christ. It was costly, as Christ bore the judgment for that sin himself. When it says, "Ruth, your daughter-in-law who loves you," the New Testament is full of that language of Christ, the Lord Jesus who loves you. He gave himself for you to redeem you. It's a redemption that has brought us from emptiness to fullness, just like Naomi. Now, we all experience the emptiness differently, okay? The impact of sin in our lives will look different for all of us. But the offer of fullness is the same for all of us. The righteousness of Christ can be fully ours, so that when God the Father looks at us, because of what Jesus has done, we're counted as worthy and righteous in his sight. Okay, Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10 put it like this. It says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. We have all of him. And it looks like going from hopelessness to joy as well, as you realize that I was lost, hopelessly lost, enslaved by sin, heading to hell, and then the Son of God who loved me, died for me, and brought me into his fullness with all the hope of life. That is our personal redemption story. And part of the thing of the book of Ruth is to say, look, whoever you are, you must come to our Lord Jesus and know his redemption, because the God of the Bible is the God of personal redemption. Okay, he did it in Naomi's life, and he does it in our lives now through the Lord Jesus. Okay, but listen, we need to finish in just a few moments, but there's an amazing thing I want us all to see right at the book of Ruth, because it doesn't stop just with a personal story of redemption. Okay, we see that God uses this personal story of redemption, okay, to bring about a cosmic plan of redemption. Now, I know that word cosmic's a bit of a weird one maybe, but I couldn't think of a better one. You can tell me if you can think of a better one afterwards, okay? But I just want us to see this in the text, okay? So have a look at verse 16. Naomi took the child. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And then Pete did a great job with all these names, didn't he? But you think, well, this is not how the Hollywood blockbuster would end. And by the way, here's a list of names, but this is the true climax. And this is amazing when you see it. So do you see who the last name on the list is? The father of David. Now, here's the context. The days of the judges, dark, godless, hopeless days. It's not just Naomi who needs personal redemption. It's the people of Israel who need national corporate redemption. They've all gone astray. Now, how is God going to bring that about? By providing the king that they need, the redeeming king. And in the Old Testament, David is the great redeeming king. And amazingly, Naomi's story of personal redemption is used by God to bring about or to contribute to his cosmic redemption, bringing about David to his people Israel, who then led them in godliness. Now, David, we know, is not the end of the story. As we go to the beginning of Matthew's gospel, the genealogy carries on and on and on and on until you get to the great grandson of David, the Lord Jesus, and how through Jesus, God is reconciling not just individuals, but actually the whole creation. So that when Jesus rose from the dead, that resurrection was not just a kind of, hey, look at Jesus, isn't he amazing? I mean, it was that. It was a taster of a resurrected creation. That's what God is doing. That's his cosmic plan of redemption. Now, listen, the book of Ruth, just the everyday faithfulness of Naomi and Boaz and Ruth, they didn't think about it. They were just getting on and living their lives. And yet, God used those personal stories to bring about his cosmic plan of redemption. And you know, the same is true for Christian believers today. All of us have a personal story of redemption. And this is the amazing thing. The God of the universe is going to take your personal story and he's going to use it as a contributing part, as a link in the chain of his cosmic plan of redemption. So look, here is, I don't know, here is his, let's call him Clive. This is Clive's personal story of redemption. And that's going to fit in to the cosmic plan. And here is Jenny. And that's going to fit in somehow to God's cosmic plan of redemption as well. And, you know, here's Michael. And it's amazing, okay, so that your everyday faithfulness, as you live out God's redemption in your own life, will be used by God to ripple out, to fulfill his great purposes for the universe. Now, if that isn't enough to get you out of bed in the morning, okay, even in December, in lockdown, I don't know what is. It's a wonderful privilege of being a Christian. Not only are we redeemed, brought from emptiness to fullness, But we are then included in the plan, the greatest plan. It's wonderful. Links in the chain. You know, I love the story of how my dad became a Christian. He grew up in a kind of church-going family, but had no occasional church-going family, had no personal faith. And then his life kind of went off the rails, I think he would admit himself. And he got kicked out of university for doing no work. And anyway, he had an ex-girlfriend who, in the meantime, had become a Christian. She invited him to a church service up in Leeds. He drove up, went to church, and became a Christian. Okay, and I mean, it seemed as simple as that. And then he married my mum, and you know, and I'm here, having grown up in a Christian home, a huge privilege, because my dad became a Christian on that kind of that church service up in Leeds. Now listen, I have no idea who was welcoming at the door for that church service up in Leeds. I got no idea who was preaching the sermon, no idea who was leading the music. I got no idea who led his ex-girlfriend to the Lord so that she then invited him along. But what I do know is that they are all links in the chain that the Lord used to bring my dad to faith, that is then linked on down into my life. And here I am now standing and teaching the Bible to a room full of people, all because of all the Lord's using of those links. Isn't it amazing how the Lord uses our own little acts of faith in our own personal stories to contribute to his bigger plans? Now, we don't always see it. Naomi would have been dead by the time David became king of Israel. She never saw the end of the story. And the same is often true for us as well. And yet, we have a great God and we can trust him to do this. So what's the big application for us? Well, listen, we need to go to the Redeemer, accept the redemption. And then friends, will you be a faithful link? Okay, think of those names that we finish with, links in the chain. Will you be a faithful link? Who knows how the Lord will use that? But will you be a faithful link? Let's finish in prayer. So, Father, we praise and thank you for this glittering story of redemption that we have in the book of Ruth. Thank you so much for your character, a God of redemption who takes individuals from emptiness to fullness, and through our Lord Jesus is working out a story not just of personal redemption but of cosmic redemption that we too now get to contribute to. And we're so grateful to you for that, Lord. In these darker days that we're living in, we pray that that hope would rise up in our hearts, and might you use us all this coming week, this coming December, to be links in your chain of redemption. And that we pray all of this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Mm-hmm.